If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Sin, addiction, failure, it's all gone. You have a fresh start. The old you is dead and gone. The new has come. You see, God brought me out of the bondage of sin and death into the kingdom of life. This is the good news, that Jesus died for you and me. So woe unto me if I do not preach this gospel.
Hey, how are you? How you doing? It's been a while you heard from me here. Yes, I've been quite busy with other engagements, but here I am. This is your first time coming here. You're welcome. This is a podcast where I collect salvation stories. So basically, people just come here to share how God brought them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So very quickly, today I have with me a special guest. I have Sayo, that's his name. And he said I should not give him any special introduction. So I'm just going to stop by saying he's a man of God. Yes, he's a man of God that was saved by grace. And today he's going to share his story with us. And I'm just very curious to hear his story, you know. Before we begin, I'm just going to drop a disclaimer. This podcast is remotely recorded, so the network may fluctuate from time to time, and the audio quality may or may not fluctuate as well. So just bear with me. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Paul, for agreeing to do this with me. Thank you for coming on my podcast. So good to have you. I know we've known for a while, both formally and informally. I know I was thinking about it yesterday, and I'm like, I actually really don't know your story. I don't think we've ever talked about it in details. All I know is that you're once black, now you're white. You're not the man I used to know. Well, I knew you when you were a boy. Now you're transforming. So you're not... You changed. Your life got transformed, and just really want to know how that happened. So the floor is yours. Just give us backstory. Who was the old Paul?
All right. So firstly, thank you very much. It's an honor to be on your podcast. When you mentioned, I was like, wow, this is huge. I'm very honored. I did not take it for granted at all. So you asked about my life before Abby.
Yes.
Okay, so I was a young boy, at a very crucial point in my life. That was senior secondary school, you know, about to enter the university. And I sort of thought I knew what life was about, but you know, I was caught up in the world. You know, the things that young people did then, especially because, if you remember, there was a way Port Harcourt, we had this like social circle and stuff, you know. So I was a popular guy. So I remember, like now when I think about it, then it was very normal for me to get messages from random ladies every day. As in, if I did not, it was strange. You understand? So all that attention, you know, and all of that, and that was like my life at that point. And I got so used to it. I drew all my strength from it, especially, in fact, I'll say the one thing that held me down the most was just the unusual desire I had for women, that's like females, ladies. Yeah, that was it, majorly. And so it continued like that for a very long time, until it got to the point where it was eating me up and I was dying on the inside. And I knew I was losing myself, right? I knew that, okay, guy, this is beyond you. Like this one, there's no control again. Because at that point, addictions had started. And I was just very, very confused. I was in a very dark place. Like, whenever I remember it, I literally just thank God. I tell you, I was in a very, very, very dark place. Very dark place. So that's it.
Okay. So just tell us about that usual point. Like, when did you get fed up of the world?
All right. So
of course, probably tricked you to an extent, and then before you realize that, okay, can't do this anymore. Okay.
All right. So so like I said, you know, I was quite into that social life. So when I was in school, right, senior secondary school, you know, because my guys were still there, you would always just get carried along. So even if you're suffering or going through something, you understand, you won't. So I didn't give it much attention then. Although deep inside me, I just knew that, guy, this is not very right to, like you can do better, that sort of stuff. So it was until after, in fact, the moment we finished senior secondary school, right, I remember that was when all of a sudden I just ghosted on everyone. And till now, most guys think that, oh, I stopped talking to them because I got saved. But they don't realize that I stopped talking to them way before I got saved. In fact, that year was because I did not get into school immediately. I had one year gap year. That was my darkest.
Okay.
That was my darkest year. And I could have contacted them when I wanted, but I just did not want to, because it was as if there was a build up, you know, of so many things that were happening to me. And when I was with them, you know, it's always like that, you know, when you're still rolling with these guys, you guys are still going out, you know, you think you're fine. It's when you're now by yourself that you now realize how messed up you are. So it continued like that. And that 3 year, I heavily invested time into pornography and masturbation. My God, I'm talking like when I say heavy investment.
We said heavily, Seb.
You know that I'm a campus fellowship leader, so usually I'm talking to people that have these kind of problems. And it was when I started talking to them that I realized that my own case was strange. Because people would come to meet me and they're like, oh, I'm struggling with masturbation. We're like, oh, okay, all right. So, and I'm talking to them and they're like, oh, yes, you know, and then maybe in a week, twice. And I'm just like, do you know
what you're not actually
I'm telling you, like, then I'll do twice in one morning and still do in the night again. Like, it became part of my routine. So, like, just the way when you're having your bath, you know, you probably take care of your face, especially ladies, you know, the whole stuff like that. So for me, it was like part of my, if I have my bath 3 times a day, you can be very sure that those 3 times, that sort of stuff, like it was that bad. And so, you know, there's some consistency like that. There's something that it does to your mind. It messed up my mind big time. I was now very antisocial. And that period I was addicted to gaming. Like, I hated human beings. Like, literally, I tell you. You know, there's this whole, maybe I don't feel like talking to people. This one, I just detested people. So because I was barely going out, the few times I went out, I realized that I could not control my mind anymore. You understand that every woman I was looking out on the road, I would have sexual thoughts with her. I tell you, it was terrible. In fact, the day that, or one of the things that added up, was when we went for a video one Friday at church, you know, those stuff that your parents would just force you, just shall went. And this woman, you know, shout out how we do their, how they do their dance now. They are their boom boom dance. So this woman was just down in peace. Hey. But that thing she was doing, my God, in my head there was heavy tectonic movement. In Jesus' word. When I go home that day, I was like, guys, see what you have turned into. Like now your mind is, you are not even stable again. So, but then it still continues. You know, there's a way that the devil does, such that you know you need help, but you just, you understand, you just still be there. So it still continued until it got to a point where the depression, everything was just so much. Like, I literally thought I could not survive again for a month. In fact, I was speaking to some of my guys in my fellowship last weekend. When I recalled this thing, I wanted to cry, because at that time depression was not as outspoken. Like, then it was
no, yeah,
exactly. So I was, and I did not know. It was now when I look back, yeah, I was exactly. like, guy, you are very, very, very depressed. In fact, there was like this huge black, dark cloud over my head at every time. You understand? So it just got to that point one night that I was just like, God, I'm tired. Lord, just help me. Please help me. Please. And the reason why I knew what to do, that's why I said nobody preached to me. The reason why I knew what to do was because all through that period, somehow, there was this tugging, like something pulling me in my heart, like something pulling me on the inside. So I just knew that the solution is to just really get serious with God. But I was still, you know, the devil just covered me and kept me from making that decision. So it got, I had to get to that, let me call it most bottom point of my life, where I still remember the night when I just woke up in the morning and I just said, Lord, I'm tired of this, and you know, I want you. And that was it. And it was funny because the moment I did that, I knew I changed. That was the funny, like, till now when I think about it, it's crazy. Like, I knew that it was final. I can't explain it. If anybody that went through what I went through, like the point I was at before I got saved, that's not the kind of thing that you now say, oh, I want to do half and half. This was like, literally, you're saving me, so I'm giving you all of me. Because if you don't save me, it's not like there'll be anything remaining. That sort of stuff. So yeah, that was how it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I relate to your story a bit. I also went through a phase of my life where I had to ghost everybody because this life really, really, what you said is actually true, because most times when you find yourself alone is when you get to realize yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you just get deceived.
Mm-hmm.
When you have all these people around you,
mm-hmm.
you actually think you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you separate yourself, you start asking, who am I without these people?
Mm-hmm.
And you start doing a thorough self-evaluation and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, your encounter is unique. Whenever I talk to people about salvation, I tell them that, see, salvation is not hard.
Mm.
It is so easy for God, because it is something that does not have any human input per se.
Thank
you. You can preach the gospel to people. You can talk your own.
Mm-hmm.
And one scripture I hold on to the most is scripture that says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord.
Mm.
Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes.
Mm.
So transformation of our hearts can be done like in a snap of the finger. You just wake up one morning and
boom, I tell you,
everything has changed.
I tell you, yes.
A lot of people actually think that, okay, it has to take a while, I have to do this and do that and literally work out their salvation, but you know, in like another context.
Yeah, I get.
Okay, so what happened after that? Did your life actually change miraculously? Did you still have to struggle? And you know, sometimes we have personal encounters with God, but in order to sustain that encounter or the new status, we have to like be planted in a family or find a gathering of believers that can help us through that phase. So how did that happen for you?
All right, so remember I told you that I made the decision that night. So you know, we grew up in Port Harcourt, so the accompanying decision with my salvation experience, or like with the salvation decision I made, was to move to Ibadan to spend some time with my dad. All right, which at the time was a crazy idea. I had not seen him in years. Like when I
moved,
there was even a point I thought he was dead. or I even wanted him dead. Funny story. That was, like, you know how the devil makes us do stupid things. Then I used to wish he was dead or something. So and he then at the time he was an evangelist, right? He was going from village to village on the outskirts of Ibadan. So here, yeah, this was me.
Okay.
He sent me, because I don't consider myself full Ajebota as at then. He sent me Ajebota boy leaving Port Harcourt to go to bush. Hey Jesus, literally where we went was like the outskirts of Ibadan. And many people were surprised. In fact, my uncle that was supposed to take me there, that's my dad's younger brother, when I went to his house, he kept asking me, are you sure you know what you are doing? Are you okay? Are you normal? On the road, he was asking me, are you sure you know what you are doing? Because everybody was, it was counterintuitive. Like, it was not what anybody would want to do. People are like, you're just going to suffer. All right. But then when I got there, one of the, and this is what I mean. So the initial time I spent with my dad were a period of strong discipleship. Because, you know, I mean, literally, when you're in the village evangelizing, like, you're giving the gospel. Do you understand? So I would wake up at night. He's praying. He's having videos almost all through the night. Like, I used to wonder how he used to do it. So he would pray from, like, 12 to 4 a.m. So I would hear him praying in tongues. Then by 4 to 6, he's going out to evangelize. You know, the next thing, he sleeps a bit. He wakes up in the morning. He's fasting during the day. He's studying the Bible. You understand? So because I got used to those things firsthand, I sort of knew that, okay, like, this is how to do it. And let me quickly say this. This is very important because I didn't mention it, but during that, my gap year, there was a time I gave my life to Christ. Funny story.
Okay.
So that you know that I just always knew the solution to my problem, but it did not last. It just lasted for like a month. And this time I now became, I now, you know, when the backsliding, I now went deeper than ever before. And the difference was that's why it's very important that people are discipled. Like, you know, Jesus did not just tell us to stop at preaching the gospel, but then we have to make disciples. And this is where a lot of people, this is why they go back. So then the idea I had was that, you know, Christianity is a works thing. Do you understand that? Like, oh my God. So then I'll not be quiet. I'll not be doing like this. Because I feel like if I talk too much, I'm going to lose my, like, the salvation or if I... And it was crazy. It was crazy. And sure enough, that kind of thing cannot keep you. You understand? Because in the face, when like sin and the temptation to sin is staring you in the face, the last thing you would want to remember is, oh, I'm sanctimonious. No, not at all. Not at all. So yes, as I was saying, so I saw my dad do all those things, and so I just sort of, you know, learned. So I was off social media for about 4 or 5 months, and I mentioned that because I believe it helped me strongly, right? That period just off, it just really helped me to clear my head and just really spend time on growing in my walk with God. So that was like the primary discipleship that I got, which really helped me. But then I'm not going to lie, there were still some struggles. Do you understand? Albeit, like, initially after I got saved, definitely all the desires died down. You understand? So for example, when I was having my bath, I did not really want to, you know, maybe masturbate anymore. But then irrespective of that, I had to, like, set many structures. And so I had to set up like proper structures and keep to it. So the initial one was that, you know, that period I was off social media. So it really helped me and gave me time to, you know, focus on growing in God.
Yeah.
And then also God started to, now these are very personal dealings, not like general for everybody, but he started to, you know, give me instructions. And at the time, I didn't realize he was doing it to help me. You understand? So, for example, one was he asked me to stop watching movies. And for me then, it was a huge deal. My God. Like, what happened was I used to download a lot of series then. So, like, I would download maybe, like, 5 episodes of different series, you know. And that day, I wanted to break my fast. So I already placed my phone. I downloaded it. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I get very excited when I want to eat, you know, and there's a movie to watch, like a cinema that I'm going to watch, and I'm enjoying the movie. So you know, that excitement was there. And then the next thing, he just said to me, like, he just said, I knew it was him. He just said to me so strongly, like, I want you to stop, you know, seeing these movies. And I was devastated. So what I just did was, I was like, you know, we're going to have this conversation later. For now, let me eat my food. We're still going to talk about this. But then I did, and oh my God, it helped me so much. It helped me so much. But that's not to say that there were no times that I fell, especially in my earlier Christian days. I think I fell maybe like 3 times during those first days, and each time it happened, there was a lesson to learn. You understand? After that, this is actually the reason why God asked me to stop movies, right? Because I have a very inquisitive mind. I don't just watch a movie and stop there. I'm going to go on Reddit. I'm going to look for theories, fan theories. Like, I'll check out all the actors and actresses. I don't just stop it. In my mind, that movie plays for like a week. I start creating all the scenes. I start thinking, oh, what if this happened instead? How would the movie have panned out? You understand? So I don't forget things like that. And that was what happened with this. So already I went to read a fan theory, and I saw that one guy in particular was saying that they were going to have both sex. And that's between Jon Snow and Daenerys in the final episode. So I knew. But then, you know, the moment you start walking in disobedience, it's already a very dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
You understand? And what I did was that I sort of intentionally did not really want to, you know, pray, because I knew that if I pray, God is going to be like, son. So I was just like, Lord, you know what, let this episode just come out tomorrow, let me just watch this final episode, and that is it. Like, we are back to how we were before. So I saw it, and then obviously it triggered something, and so it happened, right? And then I definitely, you know, the feeling bad, like, oh no, all of that. And so but then I learned my lesson, Sha. And so, but then when everything stopped, absolutely, apart from the structure, then everything stopped was when I saw in the Word of God for myself. I saw in Romans where Apostle Paul was speaking, or he was writing, and he said, you know, that our old self was crucified on the cross.
Yeah.
And so we were made dead to sin. And my God, that just jumped out. I was like, so anytime those rare occasions when like the urge still comes, I can overcome, because like I'm dead to this thing. Like I have the victory over this thing. So in me, there's inherent power to overcome this thing. So the devil may want to come and tell me, guy, this thing, you must succumb. But that is not true. So that was it. But then those structures, I actually tell people that it's just the wisdom of God, you know, directing you, and to it's for your own good. Yeah. It's very, very good and healthy to maintain those disciplines. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. But it's fine. You know, I've been doing this and listening to people tell their story. Well, there are different patterns that salvation takes place. Well, there is this one that is most common to, like, there are certain factors that are most common to all the stories, and how it works is like a cycle of salvation. But it's not a cycle because it doesn't go back. Well, is the first of you separate yourself, you cut off from toxic friends, cut off from toxic people, get off social media, and then after that, God starts dealing with your imperfections, with your addictions, with your struggles.
Yes, yes.
God starts dealing with those things that can severe your or hinder your relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Afterwards, that's where the growth actually begins.
Yes, ma'am.
Basically, I've listened to these stories, and that's just how it works. It worked that way for me. I know the people that it worked for. Different ways, but it's still the same thing. There's still that phase. Okay, so what happened after you talked about how you went to meet your dad? So what happened afterwards when you left?
All right. So it was not per se, because definitely, yeah, when I got reintegrated into society, this was when I was entering school, 100 level. So initially it was a bit rough. Do you understand? I intentionally stayed away from the kind of people, like people that used to be like me, that I just felt like could remind me of my past.
Yeah.
You understand? Not like I did not talk to them. Like I talked to them, but I would not really hang out too much around them.
Yeah.
Especially during those early days. And that was, like you said, sort of a continuation of the separation.
Yeah.
And I feel like God did it for my good, because I remember then at some point I started thinking, Is it like there's like an invisible wall of fire around me? Like, why are nobody's coming? I tell you, because then I'll see guys that I'm like, not that I'm comparing, but if this brother can that's coming to visit me the hostel, I hope now. That sort of stuff. But then I feel like that was just God, you know, still preserving and keeping me. It was until much later that, for example, now, to an extent, I can, you know, be around people because I've grown in my knowledge of God to that point that I can be around them and still guard my heart and not be contaminated, that sort of stuff. But yes, it was definitely different from, you know, just being off social media and you know, just being by myself. Even up to date, I'm still very, very restricted. My time on Twitter, Instagram is very, very restricted. I barely spend up to 30 minutes at a stretch on, especially Twitter. Like Twitter's only is, once I'm using Twitter, if I just see one rubbish, all it takes is one rubbish. I'll just close the entire app. Till maybe the next day, and it's just like my own consecration to help me maintain my sanity in my head.
Yeah, I totally understand. Like, I tell people a lot that God deals with us very differently, like with peculiarities. He understands each and every one of us. He knows where He's doing us. Do you get? He understands our weaknesses, and that is how he gives us instructions and everything. That's why we cannot make certain things doctrinal triggers. For instance, now you're the first person that I'm relating with. There was a period of my life God actually told me to stop watching movies because I had these serious problems.
Wow.
Yeah.
No wonder when I was seeing you are smiling.
I was like, oh, okay, so this how nah. It was just too much. You know, there's a way you can idolize certain things. Anything in this world at all that you place before God, He's definitely going to take it away because I mean He's a jealous God. Whether it's human beings, whether it's social media, whatever it is. So to round up now, just tell me a little bit about where you are now that you have a better understanding of, I mean, your own discipling people, you know. You're a mentor to many. And I know, right? I'm sure you didn't see, maybe you didn't see all of this coming, because for me I did not. I mean, and then just how does knowing Christ now make your life any different and any better from just living a normal life, especially as regards purpose and all, you know?
Okay, so all right, so I'll just approach the question bit by bit. So first, where I am today, like you said, I have automatically become a mentor to me. That's because, as you know, I'm the president of a campus fellowship. Actually, the largest on campus, like we're quite huge. So whenever I think about it, in fact, on the day that, like the handing over Sunday, when they called my name, I burst out into tears. And I don't mean, when I say burst out, I don't mean like I just started, you know, sobbing. Oh, Jesus, you've done it for me. I mean, you know, when the man is shouting, I was like, ah. I tell you, like, now when I see the video, it's very embarrassing. But what happened then was that in that moment, I realized God was great, because the night before, like my friend, he's the current prayer secretary. He was my successor, right? So he was in the room beside me, you know, Federal University, so like houses outside school. Mm-hmm. So like he was in the room beside me, and he was praying in tongues for the handing over in the intercity. Me, I was lying down on my bed, dude. I intentionally didn't know what to pray. Do you know why? I was having a conversation with God, and I said, I literally sort of, I don't say I challenged to God, but I was like, God, I want to see if you can do it. Because before I got into school, My mentors told me that I was going to become the president of my campus fellowship, right? So, and it's something that I did not forget. So now here I am. All right, so handing over Sunday is the next day. This was Saturday night. So I was just like, God, can you do it? I doubt. Because if you know, the way my fellowship is, if they don't make my kind the president, I tell you. You know me, I'm teased. Some people even call me fresh boy pastor, that sort of stuff. So like, it's rare to have my kind there. And so when God did it, it just really shocked me. And the reason why I said that is because, like you, if 5-6 years ago, if somebody told me this was where I'd be now, I would have, as in, the answer I would have burst into. As in, I can't even insult them. I'm telling you, because I just did not envision, you know, myself doing this or at this stage in life. Then to talk about purpose. Okay, so let me tell you something. Before I got saved, my idea of what I wanted to be at that point in time, that gap here, was I was like, Lord, I want to be successful, but you know, just something okay. You know, I just want to have a house and then just play games all day, you know. Just nothing great like that. You understand? Just something okay. Let me be comfortable. But now it has changed exponentially. Like I'm just usually scared. He just keeps revealing like my purpose in stages and stages and stages.
Yeah.
So the first thing on the general scale, one of the advantages for me now that I'm in Christ Jesus is that I have hope. What I mean is there is a hope I have. So I know that irrespective of whatever happens in this world, you know, that I am in God.
Yeah.
You understand? And so
yeah,
I'm going to be very
exactly.
It's just very relaxing, I tell you, and it has taken me through so much. My God, if I go into my story, even within the university, and stuff that when people see me, they're always like, "How did you go through this? And you're this, as in, there are no scars. Like you're just very open about it. Like, how did you even do it? Like, how?" And I'm just like, "God, I don't know. It's just God. And so it's a really beautiful thing to just know that, you know, it's a hope that gives you peace.
Yeah.
I just know that I'm okay with him. I can trust him. I was telling some of my friends sometimes, I said, you know, Apostle Paul was saying something when he was speaking to Timothy. And he said that, you see, I know who I have given, rather, I know who I have given my life to. Like,
who's
I've
I am
kept
and
myself
who is I.
And I was just like, wow, like just listen to that testimony, because he's so trustworthy. And so it has given me a strong sense of purpose. Now I know I'm destined for great things. Like I know, as in this one, nobody needs to tell me. I know very, very well. And when I mean great things, not great necessarily according to the world standards, but great according to his kingdom.
Yeah.
You understand? In the sense that I'm going to fulfill his will for my life, you know, in the sense of kingdom. So that at the end of the day, you know, he'll just look at me and say, "Well done, you know, good and faithful servant." So yes, it's definitely a wonderful change in perspective. Wonderful. I'm not scared about the future, not one bit. I'm not scared one bit. You know, I feel like one of the dangers of, you know, that life was the uncertainty.
Exactly.
I should tell guys that. You see, the Bible says that, you know, that those that are not in light are not in God, are under the dominion of darkness. So, literally, the devil can, at any point in time, just come and manipulate their lives, and they cannot do anything about it. You understand? Like, except maybe there's one intercessor somewhere, or maybe they're using the covering of their pastor in church or something. But like, when the devil really wants to get them, they cannot. But me, I can stand by my authority in Christ Jesus in prayer and get things done. So like, when I tell myself that, or when God tells me I'm going to do this, or these are my goals, I know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You understand? One witch in one village, you know, say that she wants to end my destiny or anything.
Definitely.
If somebody that is going to be ended, it's definitely not my destiny. That sort of stuff. So you know, it just gives peace and assurance that I'm going to be okay. So there's no uncertainty, and for me, that is a very, very beautiful thing.
That's so amazing. I mean, I've been enlightened and I've been blessed, and I don't mean to be cliche about it. God is just amazing. I don't know why somebody would just stay and decide that they don't want to be safe.
I ask myself that same question every single time. Sometimes I'm telling my people in church, I'm like, why would you want to be in church? Like, why would you want to be in church? Like, why?
Wow. I thank God for that. I thank God for your life. Your life is just one of the many examples of what God can do with a hopeless soul. Let me just say that. A directionless somebody, do you get? And then God can just pick you up, get rid of your addictions, give you a purpose. I mean, give you a destiny that you never thought you could have. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for accepting to do this podcast with me.
You know, like you said, you know, it's beautiful to see how that God can, you know, just transform. Pick literally that song that they always sing. He took me from the Marie Claire. That's like the story. And then one thing that, you know, we're still trusting God for, is the next phase, you know, and some people are already they're already enjoying that next phase. Like you now, you know. So I just felt I should sleep that way, because every time I see your post, I'm like, wow, woman of God, wow.
I don't understand what you're talking about anymore.
Now I'm talking about like the next phase now, marriage and stuff.
The next phase
when it comes to purpose. So you know, some of us are still waiting on God, but
yeah. See, I don't want to delve into that thing, because whenever I start talking on marriage or purpose, I just never stop. I told somebody about it this week, a few days ago. But basic thing is that, see, you can marry away your destiny. Really. It's very crucial, yet I tell people that it's not as complicated as we make it seem. When you walk with God, like sincerely walk with God, regardless of anything, like you have a personal one-on-one relationship with God, and you have a track record of hearing God, of being directed by God, it's almost impossible for you to miss it when it comes to marriage. Because God cannot just watch you make a mistake. For instance, now you that we know that you have a great destiny, God cannot just watch you do something wrong. And just without you having any promptings, anything, God will never let you make such a grave mistake, because he knows that your destiny is at stake. In that your destiny, there are souls that you're going to reach out with, and God does not joke with souls and all of those things. So he's not casual about like marriage. But the first and most important thing is that you have that consistent track record of following God and listening to God.
Wow.
For instance, now, Catherine Coleman, one of the biggest mistakes she made in her ministry was her marriage. This woman made the wrong decision, got married to a man that was already married. She had the promptings.
She knew
that what she was doing. I mean, for Christ's sake, on her wedding day, she fainted. And that signal was not enough for her. Even after the wedding, when she got back to her hotel, she broke down in tears. She knew that she had made the wrong decision. So it took her retracing her steps. God was not just silent. I mean, this was a woman that her heart was sold out to him. So God did not just watch her like, okay, make your mistake and continue going. If you don't want to do it again, just go. You feel it if you're doing something wrong, and then there is that peace if you're doing something right. So when it comes to the whole issue of marriage, I just tell people, see, be guided by God, be led, and it's not that hard. But the first and most important thing is that you have that track record of being directed by God.
Wow, thank you so much, Mama. Practical insights. This is not theoretical knowledge, it's experiential.
Wow.
Experience. My God. Thank you so much, Mama. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was impressed. It's good to remind ourselves of these things from time to time. You just remember them.
Thank you so much, Zaira. And thank you to everyone who listened to this podcast. I hope you are blessed and you've learned a thing or two. If you'd like to keep in touch with our guest, his handle on Instagram and Twitter is at @Sayo_Paul. That's Sayo, @Sayo_Paul. And then my handle is @Anne_Ointed as usual. So yeah, thank you once again and see you next time. Bye.